Planned Parenthood has been under siege for many months now since that controversial video on the alleged sale of fetal tissue, emerged several months ago. There's been talk of defunding the organization on the federal and some state levels. And since that tragic shooting last month in Colorado, Planned Parenthood has been very much a part of public discourse and scrutiny. Joining me to talk about the impact of all of these issues on Planned Parenthood and its reproductive health services in our region are Mary Kogut, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region and Southwest Missouri. Dr. David Eisenberg is the medical director for that office. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Mary, I'll start with you. Is the term under siege a correct characterization, do you think?
I think, unfortunately, it is. The one thing I want to say is that Planned Parenthood provides a tremendous amount of health care to the community. We serve 2.7 million people for health care throughout the entire nation. And here in the St. Louis area, we serve 45,000 people. And this is for prevention care as well as for abortion care. So when we talk about being under siege, it's really unfortunate that all of the greater than 90% of prevention care that we provide doesn't get the attention that it really needs to.
Yeah, abortion is the big one. There's no question about it. We put out through our Public Insight Network a request for people to respond to experiences they've had with Planned Parenthood. And I have to say that every one of them that came back to us, and there were several, was positive reaction to your organization. But there are critics. And I suppose that's manifests itself most recently and most obviously in Colorado with the shooting at the clinic there.
It was a horrible tragedy, and it just made all of us ache, quite honestly. The staff and the law enforcement in Colorado were true heroes. They saved lives by the way that they performed and the way they behaved. And you know, Don, I think if it were any other business, those people, the staff, would be considered heroes, would be getting awards, would be on the nightly news. And unfortunately, because it was Planned Parenthood, there were some politicians that even vilified those staff for being the target of basically a domestic terrorist activity.
What has been the impact here? I mean, in terms of your office, you have people coming to work every day who I suppose there is a perceived threat. Doctor?
Yeah, I mean, so I can speak specifically to my own experience as well as to that of our staff. But, you know, most importantly, I want to point out that we were open the next day, and we took care of patients all over the St. Louis region. We have health centers in the St. Louis region, including Fairview Heights across the river. We have health centers in Springfield and Joplin, where we took care of patients on Saturday, the day after that shooting. And our staff also had to be taken care of because they're appropriately upset when something like this happens. Access to basic reproductive health care services shouldn't require bulletproof glass and metal detectors and bulletproof vests for the providers. This has unfortunately been a fact of healthcare in this country for 30 years or more, that violence aimed at women's and sexual and reproductive healthcare sometimes has found its way to Planned Parenthood health centers. And we have been prepared for that here. They were prepared for that in Colorado Springs, and thankfully they were, because of their response. The violence was less than it could have been.
How prepared are you? I mean, is there special training that's involved with workers? Mary?
So we always concentrate on safety. The safety of our patients and of our staff is always one of our number one concern. And for years, we have worked with law enforcement. We've provided trainings to our staff. And we ensure that we have safety precautions in place. And I will say right now, we are stepping back. We're taking a look at everything. But I agree with what Dr. Eisenberg said. Getting health care should not mean that you have to go through bulletproof glass and metal detectors. It's interesting. The National Abortion Federation did a study and showed that since 1977, there have been almost 7,000 acts of violence against health care providers, specifically reproductive health care providers. And this has included murder, attempted murder, arsons, and bombings. This has to stop. Enough is enough. And I think most Americans believe that. They believe that this is too much and that the anti-women's health, the really vile rhetoric, has gone too far.
Well, go ahead, Doctor.
I was going to say, I mean, the fact of the matter is that in this country, 98 to 99% of women will need contraception at some point in their life. They will use that voluntarily. Mm-hmm. The average woman who wants two children needs to spend 30 years of her life avoiding pregnancy to have two children in her family. That's the average family size in this country. And we are talking about basic health care. Reproductive health services is the core of what we do. Preventative health services following that. And then the minority of care that we provide is abortion care. But because we provide care, no matter what, no matter the circumstances the woman is coming from or her partner, no matter the care that they need within the scope of our practice, we provide it without judgment. And we are there even the day after a shooting occurred in Colorado.
For the record, how is Planned Parenthood funded here?
Combination of funding. We get self-pay, so patients actually pay. We take commercial insurance, and we're seeing a greater amount of commercial insurance, specifically since the marketplace insurance plans. We also accept Medicaid, Medicare, and in two of our centers, we get Title X funding.
So there's a lot of talk in Washington, as you well know, about defunding Planned Parenthood. What sort of an impact would that have here?
It would have an impact. Yeah. We would do everything we could to mitigate that on our patients, but I worry greatly. And I'll tell you why, Don. When you look at the statistics in Missouri, around 400,000 women in Missouri are in need of subsidized family planning care. This is basic contraception, well woman care, STD testing and treatment. We have wonderful federally qualifieds here in town, and we also have them throughout the state. However, we're not hitting capacity right now. We're not serving all the women who need us today. And many of them are young, they're lower income, and many are women of color. So if defunding happened, it would create more unintended pregnancy and higher rates of teen pregnancy. The very thing that I think the opposition is saying they're interested in preventing. So let us provide care. We're here.
And if I can add one other thing, we know from multiple studies over the last 40 years since the Title X program became available that publicly funded family planning services is a cost-saving measure. For every dollar spent on family planning services from a public agency, upwards of $8 in future health care costs are saved over the subsequent 5 years. It is as cost-effective. It's only third to clean water and immunizations. There's no better public health intervention than access to family planning services.
I can't imagine that any thinking person is going to argue with what you do, basically, the kinds of things we're talking about. When you get into sexually transmitted diseases and things like that, and all the contraceptive work that you do, but it always comes back to the one issue, and that's abortion.
I disagree.
Yes, I do too.
And my experience, I am a physician. I'm an obstetrics and gynecology board-certified obstetrician gynecologist who has not only spent my training learning how to provide comprehensive women's health care, but specifically to be an expert in contraception and abortion care and to teach the next generation of physicians and other health care providers. And what I can tell you is when it comes to reproductive health care, it is somehow treated differently by a segment of this population, primarily politicians who do not represent the majority in this country, in a way that it is controlling women and women's ability to have self-determination. So we're talking contraception. We're talking access to sexually transmitted infection testing and treatment, and we're talking about abortion. It's not just abortion that is threatened.
But the politicians who are talking about defunding are talking abortion.
They are, but it would affect all of those things
would.
As well.
Yeah. I think one of the really important things for everyone to recognize is the funding we get, Medicaid and Title X, is for services provided for prevention care. It's not for abortion. We don't get any money for abortion care. So we provide a pap smear, a birth control, STD testing, then we get reimbursed for that. So it's very specific for prevention.
And if these politicians really wanted to see abortion numbers go down, they would fund contraceptive services and make them universally available and ensure comprehensive sex education in our schools.
Absolutely.
Those are the interventions that reduce abortion.
I understand exactly what you're saying and understand it fully. What I'm saying is the politicians who are against Planned Parenthood use abortion and only cite abortion. For instance, the Missouri State Legislature is getting ready to lower the boom. Apparently, this session, they're going to do what they can to eliminate the possibility of abortions anywhere, and certainly Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that? And is there any way to fight that? I mean, there seems to be. We talked yesterday about this with our political reporters. our Republican, our conservative legislature is going after you.
They do seem to be this year. It's been difficult in that respect. And I think it's unfortunate for the citizens of Missouri that this is what's happening. We have so many health care needs that our legislators could address. You know, infant mortality in many of our communities, it's higher than the national average. We have, on average, about 280 babies who die every year in the first year of their life here. Maternal health is a big issue. Gun violence is a big issue in Missouri. There are so many things that we could do to help the citizens of Missouri. And I really think preventing abortion, which is one of the most common medical procedures in the country right now and one of the safest, doesn't make any sense.
And if the politicians in the state of Missouri wanted to improve the health of our citizens, they would pass Medicaid expansion. That would be the single most important thing they could do to improve the health of our citizens and our community.
Well, our political experts say that's not going to happen again this year either. It's a tough state, for people with a more liberal perspective, organizations with that perspective to function.
Well, Don, what I don't understand is it is not just a liberal or conservative issue. If you talk about conservative principles, small government, fiscally responsible government, those kinds of things, why is it that those same politicians who preach small government and fiscal responsibility can't understand that the dollars spent on contraceptive services actually save money and that the decisions that they are putting themselves in the middle of are the most personal decisions that folks make in their lives? Mm-hmm. That it doesn't seem to correlate to make sense to me.
I think one of the other issues, when I think about the services we provide, we provide contraception to thousands and thousands of women and men. You know, 14% of who we serve right now are men. I think a lot of people don't realize that. We did almost 60,000 STD and HIV tests in the last year alone. And when I look at the rates of STDs in the St. Louis community, it's very clear to me how important our services are. And it seems to me it's common sense to support the prevention services, knowing that that's what's going to help us with unintended pregnancies and with lowering abortion rates. One of the things that we've done is we've made a commitment to providing long-acting devices, so IUDs and implants. These are some of the most effective contraceptive methods out there, and they can prevent unintended pregnancies and prevent abortions. Every single one of our centers offers these.
When you take your, and I assume you do, when you take your case to Jefferson City, how are you received?
It depends. Definitely there are legislators who are very much in favor of prevention, who have a common sense approach, and we're delighted to work with them. We come up with some opposition. Don, we will be there every year, though, and we'll be there because our patients need us to be and the community needs us to be. So we will be there every single year fighting for reproductive health care.
And I have to tell you, I mean, I've been here in St. Louis for 6.5 years almost, and I've taken care of women from all over the Missouri area, as well as each of our surrounding states, for the care that we provide. They don't realize that when they walk into our doors that we are subject to more regulations than any other healthcare provider out there because of the state legislature and because of the politicians feeling it's politically expedient to put women's health under the bus in many ways because they won't do the right things for the health of our society and communities, which is to expand Medicare and preventative health service, Medicaid and preventative health services.
I know that the University of Missouri is not in your district, Mary and Doctor, but can you tell our folks what's going on there? I mean, that is an issue that has also surfaced recently.
Sure.
What's going on?
Sure, absolutely. The one thing I want to say about contracts, not just the other affiliate, Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri, but Planned Parenthood of the St. Louis region in Southwest Missouri has also agreements with educational institutions. We provide training for doctors, fellows, residents, nurse practitioners, social work students, public health students. And we have done this with a variety of institutions over the years, had incredibly great relationships. PPKM, the other affiliate that runs the Columbia Center, also has had these great contracts and agreements. Those are now being negotiated on a student-by-student basis. So at least that we got that back. But right now, even though the center in Columbia has maintained their license to provide abortion care, they do not have a provider at this time. So for all practical purposes, St. Louis, once again, is the only state-licensed abortion care center in the entire state of Missouri. So women who have to meet the 72-hour informed consent requirements need to come to St. Louis, go back to where they live, come back to St. Louis 72 hours or later. It's a great hardship on women.
And where are they performed in St. Louis? Is it at, on the Forest Park? You're building in Forest
Park?
Yes.
Our main headquarters, we have our surgical unit at Forest Park and Boyle. And we also provide medication abortions in our Illinois center.
What happens to the fetal remains of aborted children here?
So the tissue that's removed at the time of an abortion, whether it's by medication abortion or by surgical abortion, with medication abortion, the woman passes the pregnancy at home. With a surgical abortion, the tissue is examined after the removal of the tissue from the uterus. We make sure that we have what we expect, depending on how far along she is in pregnancy. And then that tissue is then sent to a pathologist. By law, it's, a pathologic exam is completed, and then the pathology organization provides for disposal of that tissue by incineration.
And, of course, the big controversy this past summer was over the video, which said that those remains of the fetal tissue was being sold.
Which is
right. Not true.
No, Planned Parenthood has ever profited from the donation of fetal tissue. And I can tell you, in the time that I've been here, at least once a month, if not once a week, I have women say to me who are seeking terminations of pregnancies that may very well be an undesired pregnancy or a very desired pregnancy with an undesired outcome where the pregnancy has some lethal anomaly, for instance. Every week I have women say, isn't there something I can do to help this not happen to the next woman? Can I donate this tissue for research? It would make me feel better. We don't offer that here, but there are Planned Parenthoods that have, a couple of them have, and other abortion providers around the country have, and that women who are able to provide that, they get additional closure and emotional healing as a result of being able to have something good come of their negative experience, if it's a negative experience for them. And it's unfortunate that we can't offer that.
But there is a charge, if I, again, I'm thinking back to last summer, for to cover whatever your expenses are with regard to this. Is that how that works here?
Yes, that was legal, that people could cover their expenses. Again, we don't have a fetal tissue donation program. And we, as you know, the Attorney General, the highest law enforcement agency in Missouri, did complete a very thorough investigation, found that we were totally compliant with all laws around fetal tissue. So to me, this should be a done issue. We should be able to now talk about health care and put our resources to that.
Only have about a minute and a half left. What is the strategy for Planned Parenthood locally for moving ahead?
So we're going to be here every single day. We're going to have our doors open. We're going to continue to provide the compassionate, excellent care we have provided here in this community for 83 years, nationwide for almost 100 years. We're not going to back down. We think this is so critical to health care, and we will be here.
And we have health care providers in North County, West County, St. Peter's, Fairview Heights, South Grand, Forest Park, Springfield, Joplin, who are there 6 days a week providing preventative health services, contraceptive services, STI testing and treatment in their communities and making a huge impact. We're the experts when it comes to reproductive and sexual health, and that's an important part of people's health in general, and we can make sure that they have a healthy sex life.
And how many people do you deal with at your health clinics here in this area?
So we serve about 45,000. We also provide education programs to another 3,000.
All right. Well, that's a lot of folks. I want to thank you both so much for being with us and telling us about Planned Parenthood. Obviously, we'll be reading the newspapers and listening to what you have to say in the weeks and months ahead.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Mary and Doctor. It's been great seeing you. We're going to move ahead now and tell you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape, when he'll talk with St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture reporters about their top stories of 2015. And in the next installment of Sound Bites, produced with Sauce Magazine, he'll take a look at the best new restaurants in 2015. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at St. Louis County Police active shooters training. We'll also talk with St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Dale Singer about the top stories in 2015 on his beat. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.